Okay, hello everyone. This is the Secret is Prayer podcast. And in today's podcast, we're going to discuss Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And we'll start with Lauren, if you want to lead us in prayer.
Yes. Lord, as we surrender ourselves in adoration, we ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit and inspire our hearts today. Come fill our lives with your love, fill our conversations with your grace and truth, fill this meeting with your presence. We ask this for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so Yvette, do you want to go ahead and get us started in chapter 3 of Genesis?
Yes, and I'll be reading verses 1-7. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat it or touch it or you will die." "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And what I want to start with is looking at the first verse, we see the serpent. And we know the serpent is the enemy or Satan. And right from the start, he's already deceiving by disguising himself. So he shows his colors, liar. From last week, we heard that the enemy is a fallen angel. So he's very familiar with God's word. So he knows God's truth. He knows his goodness. And so another important thing that stood out to me is the chapters leading up to chapter 2 refers to God as Lord God, which means he's a king. He has absolute authority. And the enemy knows this. So when he approaches the woman and he talks to her, he removes Lord. And so to me, I feel like he's trying to trick her in a sense, because he's keeping that Lord away. So he's not allowing her to see God as that authoritative figure, because he does have absolute authority over his creations. And so he asks her, "Did God really say you can't eat any tree in the garden?" And so then when we look at her, well, first, let me go back. He approaches her, and I think he approaches her because he knows that Adam is leader of the family. Adam follows the commandments. God gave him the commandment that he, you know, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's very cunning of him to go to her to entice her. So when we look at it, she answers the serpent and says, "We may eat the fruit from the tree in the gardens, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die." And we know that if God never said not to touch it, that's very important. He didn't say that. They would not physically die. They would spiritually die. And I think that the enemy, again, he's so smart. He knows what God meant when he said that. So another thing to look at, what I did my research on here, I think when he talked to her, when he left Lord out and he's telling her like, "No, you're not going to die." He says here, "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." And I think when he said like God, he's enticing her and trying to show her like, "Hey, why don't you try the tree? You know, you're going to be his equal." And so when she looks at the tree, when we look at verse 6, the woman sees it differently. She sees it good for food. She sees that it's delightful. So we know that he's getting to her and she's seeing this differently. And so when we see that, we know that she's going to give in to him. She's going to give in to the tree, and she does. She gets the fruit. She eats it, and she gives it to her husband, and he eats it. And I think at that moment, the roles were reversed. He went from the leader of his family to the follower. Mm-hmm. By him doing that.
I think that's an interesting, all of it was really interesting, Yvette. Because I had those highlighted too, but as when you were mentioning how when she didn't say the exact words that God had said, and instead said, you know, God said, do not touch it, when God did not say that, it's telling us also that the enemy knows our thoughts. So as the enemy is sliming his way right there in the garden, he hears her thinking, probably because those are the words that came out of her mouth, do not touch it. She's thinking, I want to touch it, you know?
Exactly.
Even though she didn't come out and say it, but the enemy knows, like, I'm going to use those words.
Well, he knows how to manipulate that. Yes. Or how to use the truth to lie.
Exactly. Yes.
And how to use your thoughts to entice you. Like, yes. Oh my God, he knows that I want to touch it. I do want to touch it, you know? But God said not to, you know?
Yeah. And some of the research that I did, I found a website, and I thought it was so interesting because it says when she ate the fruit, nothing happened. But when Adam ate the fruit, that's when both their eyes were opened. So I thought, well, that's funny.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
Like, is it because he had the covenant with God first, or did they both have to eat it before that happened?
Well, because too, I wonder if because Adam, when she, and that's one of the things that I just learned recently about this story is because Eve sinned first, Adam still had a chance to go to God about her or for help for her.
Yeah.
And then once he followed her into sin, then you know, that changed everything.
It changed everything.
Because they're the one flesh. So, if, you know, you still have a chance when one, you know, only one does it.
Well, and I think we're so used to, especially in a marriage, we're so used to, you know, we see each other as one and we're quick to follow. I think we're deceived easily and quick to follow each other into sin, instead of doing the opposite and pulling each other out of it.
Right.
And that's where the enemy, he's so clever that he uses deception and he uses lies to, you know, that's how far, and he does it with, and it's with little things. It starts with little things, but then over the years that grows and it becomes something, you know, way bigger, but it's, we're so easily, you know, we're quick to follow them into sin and we don't see it. We're so blind by it. We don't see it.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing was, is what they didn't know or what maybe she ignored. They were already like God. God already created them. He created us in his likeness. So, you know, I think the only difference is, you know, God created us as his likeness in his image. But we were never meant to carry burden. We weren't never meant to have the anxiety and the worries. And by eating the fruit, the first couple of his covenant, you know, they did the exact opposite. And his plan for good was interrupted and separation between God and his creation happened from that action, you know?
Yep.
Yep.
And I think one of my closing, what I had written for one of the closing thoughts on this chapter or the verses was, you know, to this day, the enemy's clever. He's been doing this for thousands of years. I think that he still uses temptation, just not fruit. He's still out to destroy marriages, families, friendships. And now it's not fruit. It's lust, drugs, alcohol, money, Mm-hmm. It's different things now that he tempts us with. And I think he'll go into a family, and it's sad to say, but I think he'll go to the weakest link, maybe, who he knows has that little opening, and he'll just get in there. And
yes, that's exactly.
And maybe when, and maybe too, when they're apart, you know, not when they're together, but when they're apart.
Right.
Because maybe if you're not alert, you know, when, because when you're together, like now we know to look out for those things, you know, and to point those things out and to try and pull each other out of those things. But when you're apart and you don't, you're not seeing it a certain way because he knows your weakness and he's trying to use that weakness to manipulate you. And if you're by yourself, then it's a lot easier for that sin.
Right. Right.
And Yvette, you also mentioned that, you know, he reversed the order. And I know, you know, in the Tony Evans, in his
footnotes,
yes, he puts also, I think that was very interesting in that he got to the man, because like Tony Evans mentions and other pastors mentioned, that, you know, the man is ultimately responsible for the family. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one target for the enemy to get to. And what's the number one way to get to him is through, of course, the closest person, you know, the, which is his wife. Right. And so Tony Evans puts on there, you know, he went past Adam. So he bypassed him. He's like, I'm not even going to touch him, because he spent, and that's the other thing, that Adam had already spent time with God. You know, because he got to name all the animals and so forth. So he knew God. So he's like, I'm not even going to mess with you, because you'll know, you'll probably tell me no, or you'll come, that's it. If I talk to you, then she's going to follow your lead. And then you go, so I'm going to bypass you and get to her. Like you said, you know, the weakest one, because she hadn't spent any time alone, you know, with God.
With God. Yeah. So, and so everything she knew, mm-hmm. we have to assume that Adam commanded her.
You know, or taught her.
Or taught.
Yes. Or he filled her in. He filled her. No, we don't do this. We do this. You know, go back this way. Yes. So I thought that was then. And that's how it's done today. You know, it's, you know, we don't actually see. Well, we know that the enemy enters, you know, people, all of us, you know, myself included, in our thoughts. And sometimes in the way we act, you know, we act a certain way and we think, oh, that wasn't very nice of me to do. Or, you know, or that wasn't nice for me to say. And that's how the enemy gets to us. And then we convince other people, you know, and sometimes we're aware of it and sometimes, you know, we're not. And then that leads others into sin. So, and again, like the more time you spend with God, then the more better prepared you are so that you're aware that it's happening. Mm-hmm.
Because too, when God, after they ate the fruit and God went looking for them, he went to Adam first before he went to Eve.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that too puts Adam as the head of the, you know, head of the family, because he goes and looks for him like, hey, what happened? You know, so, and not to Eve. It's not until later that he goes to Eve. He asks Adam first about eating the fruit. Right. And then Adam does not even acknowledge it, his wrongdoing. He blames it on Eve, the woman whom you gave me.
The woman, he's like, girl, you gave that was me. You. That was your choice.
Yep.
Well, exactly. So he blames Eve and God, though, because he's like, it's the woman that you gave me. Yeah, so he doesn't even, and we do that, you know?
Yep. We blame each other.
Well, it was because of this, or it was because of that, or that we look
for something with the kids. Well, no, you said, you know, instead of working mm-hmm. together, and then that's how the enemy gets in there and starts dividing.
And one of the things that I had written in my notes was that how Adam responded, but when David sinned, he responded to God, I have sinned against you, Lord. To where Adam says it was a woman. It was a woman you gave me. And I thought
already knew, because they had studied David, you know, how they would teach each other what was happening, what had gone.
Probably so. But I think as a person, because I could see myself do it. Like now I would hope that I responded like David, you know, like I have sinned against you, Lord, to where, and not like I used to, like, it was because of the job you gave me that I did that. Yeah. You know, it's like, I think before I probably would look for an excuse or try to justify my actions, to where now I would hope that I can say, I have sinned against you, Lord, you know?
Yeah.
And then Eve, she blames it on, she responds by saying, I was deceived. And then I had a note where it said,
at least she owns it, right? I was deceived. Yeah. She was.
She goes, I was deceived. But it is a sin to exchange the truth of God for a lie. And that's in Romans. And that she already knew not to eat. She already knew the truth.
Right.
But she let the serpent, but she chose the lie.
Right.
You know, and that's what we do when we know the truth already, but so many times we choose the lie.
Right. And then she even adds, well, and we can't touch it either. Like, if we touch it, we'll die too. So
she already knew, but it was the lie. The lie that she could be like God. And I think that in a sense, we do that too, because we think we can, you know, we accept, or we compromise or accept, or we fool ourselves that the lie is better, but it's because we're either giving into the flesh, or we're, you know, being selfish, or we're being, don't want to accept
more. Yeah. Attention. Yeah. Because right. The serpent went to her and then deceived her by one saying, these are your thoughts, you know, you want to eat it. And then two, giving her the power to do it, and that she would be, you know, just like God. And that actually enticed her. Mm-hmm. That was a temptation. Like, she wanted that higher, you know,
right.
To be yep. up here, you know?
Yep. Yep. And we, yeah. And I think we as women do that too. You right. know, it's easy to fall into that, you know?
Yeah. Cause even when she answers him, she doesn't add Lord, she says God. And so there you have to wonder, was she under his influence or
already,
mm-hmm. you know, that she said that?
That's a good point. So she answers the serpent by saying God. She didn't say Lord God.
She didn't say Lord God.
Lord.
So uh-huh. wonder, yeah.
Oh, so he got her right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I always wonder, because, you know, growing up, you always say, oh, Eve ate the apple. But, you know, I was reading, again, I've just Googled. And what I found interesting was, I wonder if it was a fig tree that they ate, because it does say that they sowed fig leaves to cover themselves.
Oh, so, maybe the fruit.
Yeah, so if the fig was really a fruit and not an apple.
It wasn't a pretty red candy apple.
Huh?
Said it wasn't a pretty red candy apple.
It wasn't a pretty red apple, no.
Wait, but does it say, oh, it just says fruit. It didn't say
it
apple.
Just, no, it doesn't specify right. that the fruit.
Oh, we came up later with
but that. But we came up with apple. I don't know how.
Hmm. I told you, but it was from Disney.
It was from, yeah, Lorena said yeah. Snow White.
Yeah, probably. We're going to have to do some research on that and see.
But it does say that they sewed fig leaves together and
made. It could have been a fig.
So it could have been a fig tree. Yeah, the fruit.
Fig. Interesting. Which is still sweet. It's still fruit. So, you know, mm-hmm. you want it, you know.
And it's just the fact that the serpent made her focus on the one tree that she couldn't have, when right. there was probably a bunch of other fig trees, but because it was this, it might not have been like a different, because it doesn't say it was a different type of fruit. It's just, you just can't eat from this tree. So right. for all we know, there could have yeah. been a bunch of other of the same trees. She just couldn't eat from that one.
And that's interesting, because Adam and Eve is the first family, right?
Right, the first.
And so he's telling her, you know, you can't eat from any, you could eat from all the other trees except this one. And it's interesting that that's the family. And now, and that's in God's, his hope, purpose, his whole goal in the family is to produce godly offspring.
So, and what does the devil want to do? He wants to stop that from happening. So he's targeting the families. And so one huge way besides alcohol and drugs, it's by creating, you know, that temptation, you know, and then getting, you know, these women or men out there to entice a spouse into heading in that direction. And by telling them, you know, you can have, because the majority of these people,
right,
that go after married individual, they can have whoever they want. They can have anyone, you know, because they're single. Yet uh-huh. they want this one that they are not supposed to take, because God yeah. said, cannot touch this, you know? And, yep.
And in the same way that if you're married and you're being tempted by, you know, you already have everything that you need, but you're being tempted by what's out there,
right?
When you can't have that, but he's tempting you with, look, there's all of that out there, you know,
yep.
even though you already have everything you need at home, exactly. even though you already have your family at home, but hey, there's all of this yep. out there.
Yeah, and he's probably whispering, nobody has to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's going to be so much pleasure. I mean, just all the things, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep. Yeah.
And God said that, you know, you can have it if it's so blah, 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 you know.
Right.
Like if there's already problems, there's no love, there's separation, you can, you know, so he starts putting that in. It's Which almost like the same thing that
manipulation. Yeah.
Happening.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's not true. Yeah.
Yep. Manipulating the truth.
Mm-hmm. And nowadays, that's why I think, you know, I tell my daughter, the easiest thing to do is walk away from a marriage or a relationship, you know, but the hardest thing is to be there. You stand, you fight,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's one of the things that I learned that I do every single day, you know?
Yeah.
Stand firm in our faith and follow God's lead and let us lead us, you know,
and to go to him, like,
yes,
because that's where things could have been different had Adam
right
gone to him and asked for his help. You know, what would God have done for Eve, you know, mm-hmm. and instead of them both being cursed because they both sinned, you know, it would have been a completely different story.
Right. Yep. And instead of him, you know, standing firm, he just said, okay, like, hand me the fruit mm-hmm. and I'll eat it with you.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do that. We do that often.
And so right when that happens, sin entered the world and here we are, you know, still fighting that spiritual.
Still trying to go back to that, which is the right mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not very good at it.
Yep. Awesome.
Thank you. I was nervous. And you know, I didn't even get to read word per word.
And that's okay. You can paraphrase, you can shorten it, you can, you know, send yeah. it.
I just think it's so important, and what a lesson to learn, you know. I mean, this was the first family. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband's like, are you sure they were married? I said, oh yeah, it says mm-hmm. clearly on here, you know, husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm.
they were the yeah, first that's where everything done. Man and woman, marriage is man and a woman. So that's it's right yeah. there. So any other questions regarding all this new stuff that's coming up, it's right there.
Yep, it sure is.
So awesome. Any other closing comments on chapter 3?
No, I think I got everything out.
Okay. Well, then next week we'll go over chapter 4 of Genesis, and we'll all talk about what, you know, what revelations or what, how that, that plays a big, you know, help me out here. How that plays
number
an important role. when you hear me, help me.
No, chapter 4, yeah, it'll be
about, everybody would talk about, you know,
Adam and Eve.
Oh. To you, what you got out of it. There it goes.
Yeah.
I needed another little push there. Okay, Yvette, do you want to close us in scripture or prayer?
Yes, I have a scripture from Psalm. It's chapter 33, and I'll be reading verses 4, 5, 20, and 22. For the word of the Lord is right. and all his work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that's a good one. You know, we wait for the Lord.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Always wait.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Let me end this podcast. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.